Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just, for me, has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
And it is Carol the Coach, and I'm here to help you with sex help with Carol the Coach. I am so excited to be with you tonight. You know, we had a little technical difficulty, got started a little bit late, but we are now on the air. We're the only sexual addiction show on the internet. So welcome to Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And if you think that you might possibly have a sexual addiction, then what you need to do is go to iTunes and go to Sex Help with Carol the Coach and download every single episode from the very beginning in March. We talked about what is sexual addiction, what's the definition, what are the criteria. And then we talked about what can you do about that. You know, where are you on that continuum of sexual addiction? Now, tonight will be a special show in that you can call in to get some help, and that number will be 646-595-3284. So again, the number is 646-595-3284. And if you have some questions about what is hypersexuality, what is sexual addiction, I'd like to take your calls tonight. This is a free call-in. Get your information, share your experience, decide what you're going to do to improve your life and make changes that last. And when you make changes that last, here's the good news. Whenever you have an addiction and you decide that you're going to make the needed changes to improve the quality of your life, then you actually have a better life than you did before the addiction. That is my guarantee. And the reason I guarantee that is because obviously you would be working a program where you used to use maladaptive coping skills to make your life better. You know, maybe that's just smoke pot, or maybe you drank too much alcohol, or maybe you masturbated compulsively. You were an exhibitionist. You were a voyeur. Whatever it was that you decided to do, we now are going to give you the tools and the keys to make your life better. And when you do, and when you follow a program, you automatically grow and get healthy. And, you know, I have to tell you, that is some amazing stuff when you make the decision that you're going to change your life for good. If you want to follow me, you can go to my Facebook page at Carol the Coach, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, or you can check out my website, and that is www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. And, of course, you can turn this show on every Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'd say we probably have three shows at least a month where we interview experts, people in the field that write about sexual addiction, or they write about love addiction, or they write about love avoidance. And then probably one show every month, I open the phone lines up and I ask people to call 646-595-3284 to ask what questions you might have that would help you to get clearer about your sexual addiction. And I know it's tough. I absolutely know that when you think that you have a sexual addiction, my experience is 99 out of 100% you already have the addiction. Now, where you are on the addiction continuum could be, you could be at the beginning, you could be in the middle, or you could be at the end. For instance, I had a man this week, and he contacted me, and he was living out of town, and he said, you know, I've heard your show. I know for a fact that I have out-of-control compulsive behavior, and I don't exactly know what to do with it. But what I do know is that when I return home, he's a doc, when I return home, I don't want to hide this from my wife. I want to come clean. So will you help me get my behaviors and my life under control so that I can be my true and authentic self? So we did some Skyping. And, you know, for some of you that live in areas where there is not a certified sexual addictions therapist, and again, to find out, do you have somebody in your area that's certified in sexual addiction, you go to www.sexhelp.com. That is not my website. That is Dr. Patrick Carnes' website. And he actually has listed over 1,500 counselors that have gone through the program who have gotten the needed education to know how to help you best. And so if that's you and you know that you really need a specialist, that's the only place you can turn. Now, I'm not telling you there aren't some good counselors out there that perhaps have not been certified, but I am telling you that if you want to make sure people have gotten the right education, this is the place to go. I say that I spent 10,000 hours and $10,000 to get my certification. Why did I do that? Well, you know, I did that for two reasons. One is that this is an epidemic in this country, and I wanted to be one of the first to actually help people with sexual addiction. And two, I did it because I think sex is a hard thing to talk about, and people are understandably shy when they don't have sexual addiction, but they have to talk about sex. And if it is complicated with a sexual addiction history or hypersexuality, they really don't want to talk to somebody. So I need to know what it takes to make you feel more comfortable, what training is most instrumental in getting you the most help the quickest, because this is not a situation that you can switch and change in 12 sessions or less. You cannot necessarily make somebody healthy. What you can do is prescribe the needed coping skills, programs, treatments that will be most helpful. And then, depending on how long somebody has had this illness, it may take 3 to 5 years to correct. So anyway, I had this doc just this week, and he asked me, you know, what can I do? And so we Skyped, and I found out that the good news is he obviously felt remorse. He had listened to the show by Googling iTunes and downloading all the episodes. And then he had emailed me and said, you know, I know that I need some help. I'm not going to be in your area for a couple of months. Can we please Skype so that I can talk to you about what my issues were? And his issues were the following. He has a very high-pressure job. And he has been away from his wife intermittently for over a year. And he got involved in pornography. And there was something that tripped his brain. And he decided that he wanted to obtain sexual massages. So he went to a massage parlor, and I won't go into details as to how he conveyed that he wanted sex, but he did. And although they wouldn't have sexual intercourse, they initially masturbated him, and later on, they participated in oral sex. Now, he has only had three sexually deviant behaviors. He's only had those experiences. However, what he knows is that it started with a lot of pornography, and that then encouraged him to go to strip clubs. And that then encouraged him to go to masseuses. And he said, you know, I'm smart enough to know that I really need to get my life together now, as opposed to 20 years from now, when I have the same problem, it's worse, and it's harder to control. So obviously, this guy was a very proactive man. And so I worked with him on, okay, what do you do? And I encouraged him to read Facing the Shadows by Patrick Carnes and to start going to SA and SAA meetings out in the area that he was staying. And at one point when he actually did a mission trip, he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. And I said, well, then I want you to get a phone that accesses internationally, and I want you to do telemeetings. Because I want you to stay connected to what you need to do to stay clean. Because what I know to be true is I can be the absolute best therapist in the world, but I can't do this alone. I need the support of the 12-step program, whether that's SA, SAA, Love Addicts Anonymous, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. I need a 12-step program to accompany me in making the right choices in getting him the help that he needs. And if you need some help, you can give me a call at 646-595-3284. Now, it's interesting because for the majority of men and women that I work with, I would say three-quarters of them are really motivated to change. And the other quarter are either seeing me because they've been instructed to by their partner, their boss, the police, whatever, or they want the help, but they don't want to change. Now, you probably know what I mean. I'm a hypnotherapist, and people oftentimes want me to hypnotize them to quit smoking, but they really don't want to quit smoking. Does that make sense? And that's the same thing with any addiction. There's usually a stage where you really contemplate. It's called the contemplative stage. What is it you want? And you go back and forth like a mouse on a computer, and you try to decide, do I really want to give this up? If I give it up, well, what are the losses to me? I mean, for some people, this has been such a time killer. And yet, it's also been a time filler. And they describe, gosh, if I give up my pornography, or I give up going to prostitutes, or I give up fantasy sex, all forms of sexual addiction, I'm going to feel lonely. I'm not going to know what to do with my extra time. And, you know, I'm still kind of wondering back and forth, is it really, really all that bad? I mean, that's what they're saying to themselves. They cannot help it. They're questioning, is it really something that they need to change? Well, they're at the contemplative stage of change. And I get that 100%. I know that very clearly what they need to do is figure out what they've gained from sexual addiction and what they've lost. And that can be difficult because oftentimes when it's filler, it does feel like a best friend. And they do actually they don't want to give it up because they don't know what they'll do with all their time and how will they manage stress and what will they do when they're lonely and they feel sad and they're angry. And I get that. You know, any type of addiction is always, it always feels like it's an amazing, amazing filler. So if you have also wondered, gosh, do I really want to change this experience? I'm going to tell you, if you're calling me, if you're emailing me, if you're listening to the show, yes, you probably do. I have a man right now. He's got three mistresses, and he supports them to the tune of about $16,000 a month per mistress. As you might imagine, he is very, very wealthy. And his life lacks any real depth, and so he's not sure he wants to give it up. And I don't blame him, you know, because really what I have to help him do is not just look at the fact that he's cheating on his wife, he's spending thousands of dollars on empty relationships, but I have to help him to substitute in his life so that his life is fuller and he can really give it up. And that can be very difficult. And so the first thing I typically do is I look for ways to help people feel like they 100% belong. And I can't emphasize enough that to do this, what I really have to do is I have to have them connect to somebody in the program who has their problem and who will invite them to go to a meeting so that they can see that when they meet with other people who have like problems, that there will be a camaraderie. And when there's a camaraderie, my gosh, then there's a substitute. Now, I know you may be saying, well, a substitute for sex, I don't think so. But I'm telling you, the emotional intimacy you get from connecting with somebody is actually a more, a healthier experience than the high you get from sexual addiction. Does that make sense? I certainly, certainly, certainly hope so. So what makes you think that you may have a sexual addiction? What is it that is scaring you about your behavior? Are you lying? Are you cheating? I would love to know what that is, because those behaviors make you feel bad about yourself. And when you feel bad about yourself, you're more likely to indulge in, guess what? Self-medicating behaviors. And I absolutely understand that the behaviors you have picked have in your own mind been behaviors that actually were self-soothing. They've made you feel good. But the price has been they make you feel good, but they also make you feel bad. They make you feel guilty. They make you feel shameful. They make you hate yourself. They make you feel like you're tied down. You know, today I was talking to a man who said, Carol, the reason I want to get rid of my sexual addiction is because I want to feel free and I want to feel liberated and I want to feel authentic. Well, to do that means he's got to get honest and he's got to be the person that he is to everybody. He can't hide this dark secret. That's not going to make him feel good about himself. So it's interesting because I run a men's group. And in my men's group, I have 9 of the nicest, most contemplative men that I've ever met in my life. And we sit and talk about, what is your story? What's your timeline? What happened to you between the ages of 1 and 18? You know, when did you form these maladaptive behaviors and how did it serve you? And at what point did you realize that it went wrong? And so we're talking about this stuff. And one of the men in the group said, you know, I grew up in a good family. I have no reason to have this sexual addiction. I can't blame anybody but myself. But then as he continued to discuss his family, guess what? His family was, they were disengaged. They really weren't attached. They didn't ever tell him that they loved him. They didn't necessarily show affection, but he said, somehow, some way, I knew that they loved me. I absolutely knew that to be true. Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that he knew that. That makes me happy. And at the same time, when you grow up in a disengaged, rigid family, you never really feel good enough. And when this guy would excel and look for ways to gain attention from his mother and his father, guess what happened? He was told to not toot his own horn, that he was no better than anybody else, and to quit bragging or being excited about his accomplishments. He was told to be humble. And what that did was that chipped away at his self-confidence, in addition to making him wonder how he could start pleasing himself. So my exercise for the group was I asked each man to write 10 things that they liked about themselves. Personality adjectives, if you will. Not that they were a good construction worker, a good teacher, a good manager, or an executive. They had to say things like, I'm dedicated, I'm persistent, I'm compassionate, I'm caring, I'm loving, those kind of words. And I had them write 10. And would you believe that one of the men that I absolutely think is doing the best work in the program, really making a huge difference in his own life and in the lives of others, could only write down one word? He couldn't even come up with 10 positive adjectives to describe himself. So we got some work to do there. Well, the next assignment I gave them was to write 10 adjectives that described their addict. Can you imagine? Those adjectives look like things like manipulative, cunning, lying, scheming, strategic, clever, because there were some good words too, but the good words were words that actually showed how strategic the addict is. You know, clever is a positive word, but in this situation it describes how clever people were to hide this from their spouses, to make up lies and stories about where they were, what they were doing, why they couldn't do the reunion. You know, I had a man today, actually it was the man that has so many different relationships and has millions of dollars so he can spend whatever he needs to. And he said, you know, if I were single, would this be a problem? I've got 3 mistresses right now. I own a company, to the tune of about $50 million. My wife knows what I'm doing. We're separated. She still loves me. So what's the harm? Well, the harm is that he doesn't like himself. And if you don't like yourself, that is eventually going to chip away at your soul. And that's why it's so imperative for people who are having these kinds of difficulty to get with somebody who's really experienced, who can be the therapist, and get them to the right resources and have them read the right books and have them write in their journals and do everything that they need to create the healing they need. You know, and the healing may be healing the fact that they were sexually abused. One out of every two clients who've experienced some sort of sexual trauma experience some sort of sexual abuse. And that's a lot of clients. You know, when I think about sexual abuse in women, the statistical number is that one out of every three have experienced sexual abuse. And what we know is that's only reported. There are many, 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 many women who've been sexually abused that have never told anybody. Well, if you think that sounds like it's of epidemic proportions, let me tell you that working with men is even tougher. Because men are not supposed to say that they've been hurt or taken advantage of or exploited. They're supposed to be strong and act like nothing's ever happened to them. And what ends up happening when they feel shame and embarrassed and sad about something is that they begin to self-soothe. They may do that through drinking or drugging or working or gambling or spending money or sex. When they, or many of the above, it doesn't necessarily have to just be one. So when they create those maladaptive behaviors, they begin to ingrain in the brain a neurocircuitry pattern whereby their brain lights up when they participate in certain illegal behaviors or unhealthy behaviors like pornography. And then it's like a drug. They do whatever they can to find that reward center and make their life better. And they think that they're looking for an immediate gratification, but what they're really doing is setting up themselves for long-term psychodynamic pain. Because the more that they try to meet their needs through hypersexuality, through acting out, anonymous sex, prostitution, sexual abuse, voyeurism, exhibitionism, then the more they have to lie about themselves. And the more they lie about themselves, the more they disengage from who they really are. And when you are disengaged from who you really are, you're not able to maintain any spiritual connection. And without spiritual connection, you're more than likely going to feel lost and scared. And because you're going to feel scared, you're going to want to have more and more and more opportunities to actually medicate the pain. And so you look for more and more and more opportunities for unhealthy sexual behavior. Okay, now, you can access me by by going to www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach or email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. You can always call me at my office, which is 317-218-3479. And you can certainly call the show. And that number is 646-595-3284. You know, I asked about 10 different men today because we had a cancellation for, we had an expert who was coming on to talk about her workshop on healthy sexuality. And so I sent out an email and I said, hey guys, does anybody want to be on the radio show? Well, I did not have any bidders. And I don't want you to think that they don't do that because they actually do. They're really good about wanting to share their story and their hope and their strength. But for whatever reason, I didn't have any callers. And one of my clients said, hey, did you get somebody to agree to do the radio show? And I said, nope, I'm just going to do it by myself tonight. And he said, yeah, you know, I'm always afraid that someone will hear my voice and know that it's me. Well, that's the beautiful thing about internet radio. Yes, my local guys that live in the Indianapolis area, they have reason to worry because maybe there will be somebody from Indianapolis listening to the show. But if you live in Brazil or Europe or Canada or many of the places that I get emails from, you probably don't have as much to worry about. I'm not located in your city. So feel free to give me a call. And again, that number is 646-595-3284. Now, I really ask you, if you believe that you have a problem, I want you to write down what are some of the problems that have occurred because of your sexual addiction. You know, when I talked with one man, he said, my goodness, I've been divorced 4 times. And it's always been because I couldn't have a healthy relationship with the woman that I wanted to because I was always looking at porn and cheating on my wife on the side. Okay, that's one of the consequences of secrets, is that you never really can have true intimacy. Because as I say, sexual addiction is an intimacy disorder. So even the richest person that says, I got the money to spend on lap dances and strippers and anonymous sex, and yet that behavior will keep them from feeling close to the person they love. Or maybe they're single. Maybe they don't have anybody in their life. But remember, what it's doing is it is teaching the brain how to light up those reward centers. And so when you do meet somebody and you have a healthy relationship and you love them for who they are, your brain may not light up the same way for sex because you've trained your brain. And so that's why it is so important to be proactive, get with a healthy therapist, go to some 12-step meetings, and for goodness sakes, correspond. Because truly, when you talk about what the issues are, I've got to promise you, I promise you that when you go to somebody and you ask them for help, initially you will be able to tell from your gut, are they able to really give you the right answers? For instance, I was talking to a man today, and he had asked that same question that my other client had asked. You know, it's that Tiger Woods story. If Tiger Woods had been single, would he have a sexual addiction? Well, the answer is, how compulsive is the behavior? Has this person tried to stop? has this person said, you know, I've got four girlfriends right now, I don't need any more, and then they took another one on? Has this person said, I'm going to stop looking at porn on the computer because I stay up half the night, but yet they can't stop? It's not about being single or being married. It certainly complicates things when you're in a relationship, but it's really about out-of-control compulsive behavior. So think about your life. Have you begged yourself? Have you said to yourself, I am sick and tired of not liking myself, and then what happened? What happened is you couldn't stop. And when you couldn't stop, you felt worse about yourself. And when you felt worse about yourself, what ends up happening? What ends up happening is that you engage in the behavior that made you feel worse, made you feel bad to begin with. It's a vicious cycle. It's like people that don't want to drink, and they don't, and they don't, and they don't, and they white-knuckle it, and the next thing you know, they've drank four times as much as a result. Does that make sense to you? I certainly hope so. Because that's how this thing works. And it's really kind of ugly, because what we know about sexual addiction is that if you don't treat it, it invariably does get worse. And if you stop, you know, you really, really, really try, and then you go back to that behavior, you actually will have more out-of-control behavior than you did before you stopped. That is also the nature of addiction, that when you stop and when you go back, you actually have more behaviors to try to regulate than before. Can you imagine? Very difficult. And that's what sexual addiction is all about. It is exactly like drugs or alcohol. When somebody stops doing crack, and then they go back to it, they typically do twice as much. All right. We are talking to people on this radio show who are experts in the field of sexual addiction. I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and this is www.blogtalkradio.com, Sex Help with Carol the Coach.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people. Every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
That's the question. Do you want to change that about yourself? And I can understand if you are wavering right this minute. You're saying to yourself, I don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I want to. What will my life be without it? Well, you wouldn't be listening to this show unless you wanted to. And so, again, I'm going to ask you to write down all the problems that have occurred because of your sexual addiction. You know, from the fact that you're not honest with people, the fact that you have missed engagements, the fact that you've taken risks, both physical risks with your health, emotional risks with the people that you love, geographical risks with your work. I mean, did you know that people look at porn from 9 to 5 at work more often than they do at night in their own home? That's a risk. So write down the problems that it's caused and the consequences that you've experienced. Maybe your wife has threatened to divorce you. Maybe your husband is getting into your purse every night. Maybe you've had a sexually transmitted disease. Maybe you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on internet porn or prostitution or mistresses. So write down what those consequences are, because that will keep you reality based and you will not be as likely to fool yourself and be in denial and say, I don't have a problem, when in actuality you absolutely have a problem, or you wouldn't be listening to me. And I am the most non-judgmental person in the world. Well, maybe not in the world, but I definitely am non-judgmental, and I will help get you to the place that you need to go to get the help you need. And, you know, if you've listened to my other shows, you know there are some fantastic treatment centers all over the country specifically for sexual addiction. What, you don't have insurance? Well, then let's get you hooked up to 90 meetings and 90 days with SAA or SA. And that way, you can be getting program information free of charge. I mean, there's never an excuse not to get the help you need. But you absolutely do have to make the commitment. You know, I got somebody in my group right now, and he just doesn't know what he wants to do. And I said, hey, guys, would he be appropriate for 12-step work? You know, do you have to say I'm ready to change, or do you just have to say, hi, my name is Carol, and I'm a sex addict? Well, everybody in the group said all he has to do is say, I'm a sex addict. We know that people start in all sorts of different places in their life, and we just want to encourage them to make the right choices. So, if there was a book that I could recommend, it would be called Facing the Shadows by Dr. Patrick Carnes, because it's a workbook. It actually has you do some exercises. It has you compile how much money have you spent on this. Let's take a look at your financial investment in your own addiction. You know, who have you hurt besides yourself? What lies have you told? You know, how many times have you stopped? Or at least told yourself, I'm going to stop. And, you know, once you break through the denial of at least understanding this is an out-of-control problem, you're over halfway there. Then you just got to access the resources and know that this is a long-term process, 3 to 5 years. So don't get discouraged if you're in the midst of year one and you just don't seem to be doing very well. I 100% understand that, and I'm pulling for you. and I want you to know that this is, although sex addiction has been around forever, it has not been around to this intensity or frequency. So in some ways, you're dealing with something new, and you're kind of a pioneer, if you will, in the addiction. And what you can do for yourself and teach others to do for themselves will make a difference to mankind. And that's what really counts. Because, you know, in the 12 steps, you know, they may ask you for your character defects, and they may ask you to admit that your life is powerless, and they may ask you to make an amends where possible, and they may ask you to take a look at the problems you've caused. But that 12th step says, pay it forward, give it back, make a difference in your life and the life of others. And that's really what counts. So you're listening to Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and this is blogtalkradio.com/sexhelp with Carol the Coach. So I'll see you next week, and I want to remind you that there will only be one of you at all times. So fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And that means to be transparent, authentic, and admit when you need a little help from others to make your life the life it was meant to be. You were put on this earth for a purpose. Now let's get you healthy enough so that you can take your life to the next level. Talk to you soon. Next week, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/sexhelp with Carol the Coach.